Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler, and on this occasion I am joined once again by Mr. Joel Sked.
Hello.
You always seem to be surprised whenever like, I go to you at the start.
Sorry, I was interrupted for the exact moment you introduced me.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so Joel is joining me once again, and as you probably guessed it, especially if you read the show title, we are once again doing a top 12, as we always do here at the Terrace, towards the end of the season. We've done goalkeepers, we've done fullbacks, now it's time for centre-backs, and a list that was very hard to whittle down this one. And fullbacks was a bit tricky to whittle down, but I still felt that there was kind of like a clear kind of line between kind of the top 12 and kind of others. There was maybe there was one or two we had a little bit of difference, and we kind of both had kind of Steve O'Donnell in there as a kind of lifetime achievement award. But like, for instance, could very easily argue the same for Declan Gallagher getting in this top centre-backs list as a lifetime achievement award. And I didn't do that because I was like, the competition is just too strong for centre-halves that I just can't have somebody who's been pretty shit all season getting in the team. And also, unlike O'Donnell, Gallagher didn't play any part in the three most recent Scotland games. So he doesn't have as much of a strong case for me either. But there was no real any kind of other players that was kind of possible to leave out. There's one particular Celtic player who's not played a lot this season, but I think he'd played enough. He played enough to get my selection, so we'll get to that later on. Did he get yours as well?
Yeah, there's a lot. For a lot of these players, I think there's two or three who are kind of, maybe three or four, who are head and shoulders, I think, are real talents. And then even just ordering them, I found really difficult because there's just a lot of decent to good centre backs in Scottish football who are playing out with the old firm. And generally, I've had a list of 19. I think I'd done less than 19, which I found it really difficult to whittle down. And fans of clubs could easily listen to this and think I'm clueless or argue against some of my choices, but argue for other players to be in. And you know what? Fair enough. But this has been really difficult. Like, the last 20 minutes been stressing out trying to make up a top 12.
Yeah, I found
which
that
ultimately doesn't mean much.
But this is for love of the game, Joe. For love of the job. This is why we like it. This is why we put ourselves through the stress. Yeah, I was the same as you, but I didn't quite have 19. And I found the most stressful part wasn't just trying to whittle down to 12, was also trying to put those 12 in order. Because again, kind of like you, I think I set out a top four. And you know, I got to my number five pick and I was looking like over about five different names.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, there's somebody I've left in my top 12 who might have gotten into it if I'd made myself make a tougher decision. But I figured you definitely have them, so I just left them out. So I was like, you'll be covered in some way.
Okay, I have a feeling who I know who this player is going to be. So when I wrote out, three of the most obvious, four of the most obvious names. And then my fifth name down was Aaron Marsh from Hamlin because I really wanted to get him in. He did not make it, but that's just because I think he's been a really good player. I think he has been really crucial to Hamilton, but simply just not as good as a lot of others.
Yes, yeah, it was tough, very tough. Right, and let's get to that right now. Number 12, I'll start. So this was between one of two teammates for me. I wanted to have one of the players in there, and kind of the numbers in one of them stand out a bit more than the other, but I've not gone for him. I've gone with more of the eye test. I've gone for more kind of fan reviews this season for what I've seen of them. And also, I think there's a little bit of kind of mentor and protege kind of type relationship going on with these two. And so I've gone with a mentor. So my number 12, I've got St Mirren, centre half, Joe Shaughnessy.
Okay.
And I don't have Conor McCarthy.
Okay, I was swithering between the two. I hadn't actually written down Joe Shaughnessy. I hadn't actually written him down on my long list. And then just because I was thinking, right, well, once St Mirren centre-back is going to be Conor McCarthy. But then just because I've really enjoyed watching him, I think he's developed really well. I think, like you're also going to say, is that his development has been helped massively by the fact that Jim Goodwin has brought in Joe Shaughnessy, who we've always been a big fan of on the podcast, and he actually, his stats were really, really good looking at him. So I'd actually pick Shaughnessy as number 11, but if you're going to pick Shaughnessy as 12, I'm going to change minds and make Conor McCarthy number 11.
Okay, fair enough. So I've got for Shaughnessy, so the reason, so you can speak more about McCarthy when it comes to you. I've sticking with Shaughnessy at 12. I think it's just for what I said. I think he's the more cool head of the two. He's the more experienced one. Is he the captain?
I'm sure he is.
He's the captain of the team. He's certainly the organizer.
Took over from Foley, yeah.
Yeah, the leader of the defence. And he's the one to kind of look after McCarthy. McCarthy, I think, he certainly does have a number of standout kind of qualities that have kind of dwarfed Shaughnessy this season. But I think that Shaughnessy is just the one that's... McCarthy still looks a little raw at times, and Shaughnessy is just a bit more kind of polished in the Scottish top flight, and somebody who doesn't really let you down. And I think he's had a ridiculous number of appearances in my team of the week this season as well. So yeah, I went from Shaughnessy at 12. Who's your number 12?
My number 12 is Andrew Considine.
Yep, that was the player I was talking about. Didn't make it my list, but I figured he would make it on yours.
Yeah, I'd actually written out the list. I was like, oh, I've not got an Aberdeen player. But I had Considine was on my long list. He has, I think he should finally have settled as a centre-back, because he's obviously over years played numerous times as a left-back, but sort of last season where he was, for the most part, Aberdeen's best centre-back. And I would argue that's been the case again. Despite his kind of progress, he's progress at left back. It's still his defensive qualities are really, really good. Despite his size, he is good in the air. He's even better in the box defending in the air. He blocks shots. He wins his battles, which is key. But then there's also his passing, which is probably underrated. He's quite good at getting the ball in at the final third. He's probably underrated in terms of passing at the back. I think he's had Aberdeen, despite sitting fourth, very few of their players have had a standout season. He's had a decent season, a solid season.
Yeah, I think there's not really much to add to there. He's also good at driving the ball forward as well, as we've seen when he's played, especially when he's played at fullback.
He's been good enough to get a Scotland cap, there you go.
Yes, or played on the left of a three. He does foul a little bit too much for my liking. It may seem like a nitpick, but if you foul an awful lot, you put your team under pressure. You invite balls into your penalty box, because when you're fouling, you're obviously going to be doing it you know, most likely in your own half. And that's a problem for him. And he doesn't, he also, by the same token, doesn't get fouled an awful lot by opponents. So he's putting his team under pressure and also not getting those pressure relieving moments by or winding up an opposing tacker. Mm. But that's, it's a little bit of a nitpick. But other than that, he's had a fine season. I do have an Aberdeen player, but I don't have Considine. And I'll go to my number 11 next, which is not an Aberdeen player. It's a Celtic player. I didn't think I was going to have him on. But there's a lot to like about this young player, even though I wasn't necessarily impressed to start with, and that's Stephen Welsh.
Yes, okay, so I had him for a bit, and then just simply there's other players I wanted to get in. You, with the Scotsman, you cover Celtic a lot, so you've seen him a lot more than me, which is kind of why I didn't put him in, just because I've certainly not seen enough of him. It's... I think it says a lot that Celtic have handed them such a big deal, despite the next manager not coming in. So there's always that concern if he's going to be fancied. But I do think there's certainly a lot of potential there. Why were you unsure you were going to put him in, but why did you eventually put him in?
Okay, sure, well, I'm putting him in, and why he's figured, because he's had certain categories where he is just... absolutely stood out, and I can't believe how well he's doing. But there are others that are a wee bit concerning. Firstly, this one is easy to see when you watch games. He's not very tall. He's not very good in the air. And to the extent that he is bad, like, he's not just like weak in the air. He's quite poor. I think he's aerial. He wins his aerial duels just over 50% of the time, which is
great for a centre back.
No, I mean, it's like something like 20 percentage points less than his centre back partner, put it that way. And he's just, that lack of height and lack of aerial ability is something that, especially in Scotland or in British football, he's likely to play for most of his career. I mean, he could go abroad if he wants, but think of his kind of future at Celtic. He's going to have to get better at that. At the very least, bump up to somewhere in the 60s. Otherwise, he's just going to be too much of a kind of liability on that end. And it's just that playing for a club like Celtic, those kind of flaws in your game, if they are major flaws, they'll be there for all to see. There won't be secrets at all. Any opponent coming against you will know about it and will look to exploit it. And also as well, he's not too comfortable with the ball at his feet. His passing's not bad, actually. But he never really moves with the ball. And I think, again, I think he can get away with a wee bit of Celtic because Ayer's always happy to move with the ball. But he just doesn't at all. like not whatsoever. Just never does it. Never, ever tries to attempt to run around a forward player. And you think, well, what does that matter? He's a centre-half.
It's huge at Celtic.
Yeah, huge at Celtic. And yes and no, and I always think the best centre-halves are ones that can step out of defence and contribute going forward as well as kind of making sure that they don't give away anything cheap at the back.
Sorry to interrupt on that part. I think it's a good point, because that is starting to become one of my most frustrating kind of aspects of watching football, especially this season, because having watched just about every single Hearts game, Hearts have a lot of the ball, and when a centre-back has the ball, has loads of space in front of him, and the other team are kind of set up rigidly, kind of let them have the ball, why not drive?
Yeah.
Just why not drive and take that space? It's so frustrating. And it's often with clubs who dominate the ball, like Celtic.
So yeah, I said his pass was quite good. He's, in terms of his percentage pass into the final third, he's one of the best. He doesn't give away a lot of fouls at all. And he gets fouled quite a lot himself. I wonder if some of that is to do with his height. he finds it hard to foul other forward. And any time they can graze him, he goes over, so the referee blows the whistle. But even still, those are very impressive. It's a good strength to have. And also, he doesn't give the ball away an awful lot. He wins it back a lot more than I would have thought. And having watched a lot of Celtic games this season, he's just really consistent as well. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And that's why he's managed to come into the team and keep his place over Shane Duffy, over Nir Beaton, two international defenders. I don't really rate Beaton as a defender, but he plays in defence for Israel. And he's came in ahead of both them, kept his place because he's deserved to, because he's been better than both of them. And I think he was deservedly, I felt he was due being rewarded with a place in this team. So you're number 11. Conor McCarthy.
Yeah, so I've gone Conor McCarthy. Like, a lot of what you said about Shaughnessy, it kind of falls in this same bracket as as McCarthy. They're like the even watching them like from a distance, I think it can be quite easy to get them mixed up. They're like the Lee Carsley and Thomas Gravison of centre backs. I think St Mirren have bought very St Mirren's recruitment over the last few seasons has there's been a lot of shit, but that's the case for every team in Scotland essentially. But they've unearthed some absolute fantastic players. James, I think McCarthy has got so much potential. If you're looking for someone to come in and do a job for a season, Shaughnessy. But if you're looking to purchase someone to progress, talent, make money off, you go McCarthy. I think he does the basics all competently as a defender. Could he be more progressive with the ball, perhaps? But in the St Mirren team, he provides them with exactly what you want. Wins his headers, intercepts, blocks. I think he's one of the more proactive blockers in the league. I mean, that comes down to the fact that he is playing for St Mirren, so of course he's going to have more shots to block than Welsh, for example. But he's been asked to do it, and he does it. And again, I think he strikes me as a very clean defender as well. Everything, he never looks panicked or unfazed, which as a fan watching that, it makes you feel more relaxed.
Yeah, there was a very tough decision to leave him out. I probably would have had him 13th or 14th to extend the list a little further. My number 10, and this is probably going to be a controversial choice, especially since he's on the bench right now, not even getting a game. But I'm refusing to sell my stock in this man. I had him on my top 12 last time. I think I've always had him in a top 12. He has a lot of haters. He has a lot of people who think he's rubbish, including some of his own supporters. However, I think he gets a bad rap because of the few mistakes he does make, because when he doesn't make those mistakes, he is an excellent centre-half.
You're about to say Ash Taylor, aren't you?
I am about to say Ash Taylor.
When I was writing out all the centre backs I was going to consider, I wrote out Tommy Hoban, Andy Constein, and that was Aberdeen.
Well, number 10, Ashton Taylor. His name's not Ashley, hell. Ashton Taylor. Yeah, I mean, it is just the he occasionally makes like really stupid mistakes, and he looks a big daft galoot doing it. And I think that was used to stick out. He looks like a big donkey, so when he acts like a donkey, it's like a confirmation bias. It sticks in people's minds so much more. But I don't actually think he's made that many mistakes since he came back to Aberdeen. He's probably had down periods of form where he's not played particularly well. But I know that for a lot of this season, he's actually played quite well. He's been their standout defender on a number of occasions. And it's just, he's kind of the real strengths of his game are just there to see. His strength, his aerial ability, he's quite aggressive, proactive. He's a good kind of one-on-one defender, as long as he doesn't get caught, unless he kind of has to use his pace, and then it becomes a bit of a problem. He doesn't give the ball away an awful lot. He knows his limitations. His passing's terrible, but he mainly doesn't try to do much passing in terms of getting it forward or attempting anything that's beyond them. So he doesn't give away an awful lot. He also wins it back. In terms of centre-backs for recoveries, he's third out of all the starters. I looked at their stats, and that's pretty impressive as well, to be third overall out of the entire league. It shows that there's going to be other guys in this list as well. There'll be one that we'll get to probably quite soon, where you talk about the good points and critics are like, yeah, but the mistakes kind of thing. But you often wonder, because defensive highlights when they're not doing anything, like even spectacular defensive highlights, there's probably a flaw in it. Like a brilliant last ditch saving tackle. Who's like, well, where were you, in the 20 yards leading up to this tackle? Why did you not notice the danger earlier? Why were you not quicker to shut it down?
We see this when we do a view from the terrace and we want to slide the defender and trying to come up with clips. And you can't do that from highlights because very rarely, simply because when you watch highlights, you want to see chances, and usually good defending doesn't involve any chances, unlike you said, unless it's a last ditch clearance, a block off the line. So you have to kind of go searching for it.
Yeah, so Taylor, he doesn't make mistakes. He makes mistakes more often than Considine and Hoban does, but in terms of his defensive impact from game to game, he does more than they two. And it's just kind of trying to find the balance of how many mistakes can you forgive? And I don't think he's made... Had it been his last... I think it was his last season at Aberdeen the first time around, where he was just making far too many. And that really... That kind of got him chased out of town. And why, when Aberdeen brought him back, fans were like, oh, for Christ's sake, I can't believe we're buying this guy again. But since he's come back this time, I really don't think he's been that bad in terms of those errors. And I think he deserves to be in the list. I still think he gets a hard time. And I did see a couple of Aberdeen fans saying after recent performances, especially since Tommy Hoban is somebody earlier in the season might have been in my top six and didn't even make my top 12 because he's just completely fallen off a cliff in terms of his performances. And I've actually seen some fans say that, usually the caveat with I can't believe I'm going to say this, but they have been saying we should bring Taylor back at the side.
Yeah, he is. When he has a consistent 90 minutes, he does look in tight at times, imperious. I go back to what I said about McCarthy, in that as fans you want someone reliable, trustworthy, who's not going to make you panic. I mean, Ash Taylor ticks all those boxes, whether it is fair or not, going by his recent performance. But it's just that history, that sticks.
Who's your number 10?
My number 10, is Jason Kerr.
Oh, I have him a lot higher.
He's one of two St. Johnson defenders I have on this list.
Okay, so only St. Johnson defender I have, which might upset you for St. Johnson fans, but forgive me when they find out a placing for him.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. Jason Kerr is someone I like a lot. So these next six, seven positions, they could just all be moved around.
Yes.
That it's one of those where it could be... Anyone could be placed anywhere. It's not, I don't think, a massive difference, except from one who's an outlier. So Jason Kerr, I just really like him, and I think he is really, really important to the way St. Johnstone play, just because of his advances out defence, whether it's running without the ball, running with the ball, his passing, and just the way that St. Johnstone play with the back three. I think it's crucial if he's overlapping or underlapping runs that they have this we talked about it earlier about players, centre backs being reluctant to step forward. Kerr does that, and he kind of creates havoc when he does. Defensively, I think he's had a very, very good season. And he is, so the two St. Johnstone players I have, if I was to pick my favourite would be Kerr. But I do think this other one's probably a bit more rounded.
Okay, I definitely don't have the other one, but we'll get to that when it arrives. My number 9 is kind of sticking with the Ash Taylor theme. It's Hibs defender Ryan Porteous.
And okay, I've got him slightly higher.
Yeah, and it's, again, similar kind of thing. It's Ryan Porteous has made, after a fairly consistent start to the campaign, he's made a number of mistakes over the last 2-3 months. He looked like he couldn't have gotten over it, and then he made that howler against Livingston, which, to be fair, I think he's been his only one since he came back at the side. So he maybe is improving on that end, but that was a bit of a shocker, and he does certainly have those kind of mental kind of breakdowns, those brain farts, if you want to call them that, from time to time. But that's, and again, it's a key thing, but it's really like the only weakness in his game. The only other weakness is his aerial ability, which isn't that strong. But even then, because I looked at him, I done an article about him, I think, last season, or at least I looked at him for something. And that was when I first fell in love with Porteous because of everything he could do. But I noticed that aerially he wasn't very good. But I think last season he was close to something like, he was closer to 50%, and I think this season he's, if not at 60, then at least closer to 60. So he's getting better, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be fairly good in the air, considering his height and his athleticism. It's obviously just one of those things where he just needs to learn how to engage with opposing forwards and how to kind of outsmart them in those duels as well as kind of overpower them with his strength. But if you look at other aspects of his game, no centre back and no starting centre-back in the Scottish top flight this season has won the ball back more for his team. No centre-back has been fouled more by opposing strikers. He's His fouled to foul ratio is the second best. He's good dribbling with the ball. He ranks in the top 10 for both dribbles per 90 minutes and the success of those dribbles. He plays aggressively. He plays in the front foot. And he's quite fun to watch. And he's got a huge future ahead of him. For everything he should do, this is the thing for him to kick on even further, because with all his abilities, he should be top four. But I've got him ninth because he just still make too many mistakes.
Yeah, that's fair. I've got him slightly higher. I don't think I'll be able to add much to what you said, but yeah, we'll discuss him when I get to him.
Cool. Who's your number nine?
My number nine is John Guthrie.
Again, higher, but only slightly. In fact, he's my next pick at eight.
Yeah, so he was. I've been swirling between eight and nine for Guthrie. Again, similar to a lot of players on this list when it came to deciding if they made them the top 12. Do I like them? And I like John Guthrie. I think he has been a fantastic sign for Livingston, remembering that when he signed from Walsall, there was a lot of Walsall fans at the Livingston when they announced on Twitter, basically saying good luck. I think he has been one of their most, certainly in terms of the top three most important players across the last two seasons. He's consistent at the back. Decent in there. Not as good as I thought he was. Not as good as perhaps he could be.
He's only about average at that.
Yeah, which surprised me. But he's one of those players who I think... He reminds me of Christophe Berra at times, the good Christophe Berra before his injury against Celtic a couple of seasons ago, when he arrived back at Hearts. And when the ball comes into the box, he always seems to be in the right place at the right time. It almost seems like almost like a magnet that comes to him. He clears it in a block. So he just gets on the road. And you have to add the fact in that Livingston are a big part of their attack, and Arsenal was their set pieces, and he is such a danger in attack. So he compared to others on the list is more of a goal threat as well.
Oh yeah, and I wonder whether I don't think I care enough to find out, but I'm quite intrigued. Have I ever met a Walsall fan? I think I would ask. Did you guys play with a high line, and did you expect your centre backs to do a lot with the football? Because then I could see why. And I think, I don't know if he's been properly linked with Hearts, or it's just somebody a name that people have said, but that scares me a lot. I think if Hearts sign him, I think he won't play well. He'll be the next, especially the stick him alongside fucking Craig Halkett, it'll be like the same guy twice. Like he doesn't have a lot of pace. And he's not a particularly good footballer. That was why I had him as low as eighth in mine, because I did kind of think about putting him higher. And again, somebody that might have came into the kind of vaunted top five position, but just the kind of limitations to his game that are hidden at Livingston was why I had him a bit lower down.
Yeah, I think he at the moment he is in the perfect place to get the best out of his qualities. Simple as that.
Right, that was my number eight as well. So who's your number eight?
My number eight. This is where, so between five, six, seven, eight, we just keep chopping and changing them. I have gone for, he probably should be higher, but I just don't think I can bring myself to put him higher. And number eight is Paul Hanlon.
Oh, no, I've got him higher. I've got him at seven.
Yeah. So I think he has been... In general, since Hibs have come back up to the Premiership, very, very good. Considering he had the reputation as being soft, had the reputation as being kind of easy to play against, easy to be bullied. I think he's come back up to the Premiership. Likewise with Lewis Stevenson, although Hanlon, I think, is a bit more important to Hibs on the field, that he's improved, can improve massively. And he's probably one of the most proactive, outside the top two, one of the most proactive defenders in that stepping out, getting tight to the strikers, intercepting the ball, wanting to be... he's not standoffish.
Hibs have two centre-backs are both excellent at winning the ball back for the opposition.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of ball recoveries, Hanlon is one of the best in the league. Solid with the good in the air. good with the ball at his feet. I just, again, he's another one who is, I wouldn't go as far as saying is excellent. I think he is a good, solid Scottish Premiership defender who has a number of qualities and just is rounded, and he's turned into a dependable and reliable one as well, which I, a few years ago, would never have said.
Yeah. And he was getting bullied off of any defender, any striker that had any sort of kind of physical presence about them. I don't think it should never go off his... It's always a blot on his career resume that he was once taken off in a game against Dundee United for Daniel Boateng because he couldn't handle Nadir Chivchi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taken off for that, that boy who ended up being an absolute huddy at like League One Airdrieonians as well. It's not great. It's not a great memory for him, but he has... He's certainly gotten a lot tougher since then. And just overall, looking at him now, he's just Mr. Reliable, isn't he?
I think he is. He maybe epitomises that change in... Well, I would say a change in culture at Hibs from being kind of soft, easy to play against to being a bit more, like I said, a bit more reliable, stronger, a bit more of a spine.
Yeah. Right, so... We're kind of following each other here. So Hanlon was my seven. So that means we've got your seven again. Who have you got?
My seven. I have gone... Now, if he had played more games, he would be much, much further up. Christopher Julian.
Yeah, I've got him higher up. I'm just kind of going... He was the one player I didn't even look at. I done my spreadsheet again for all the stats. I didn't even bother adding Julian to... He's only played 15 games. I think a few of them were in Europe.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of remembering the player for last year. So I've got him a bit higher.
Yeah, I've gotten further down just because of his lack of games, not because of his lack of quality. I mean, even before his injury, there was one or two moments this season where it didn't look too clever. But in general, if Julian had stayed fit and they were able to play Julian and Ayer together, Celtic, the league wouldn't be wrapped up. Wouldn't have been wrapped up as quickly as it was.
Yeah, aye. Or have they just played Welsh, you know? They're just not signed Duffy.
Yeah. So if they made more competent decisions defensively, would have. Julian is someone who has got all the qualities to be an excellent centre half and perhaps the best in Scottish football. Not played that much. Tarnished with just being a Celtic player. So any Celtic player this season has been, I mean, like. Do I have to put him on my list just because he's had such a disastrous season? But he deserves to be there because he is good. Is he better than my number six, my number five, my number four? I would say absolutely. But he is seven just because he's lack of games.
Okay, so I do have him higher. So I'll go to my number six, which is the first Rangers player I've got on my list. I've got Leon Balogun. Now, I did swither quite a bit on Balogun or Hollander, and I think I came to the realisation that I do quite like Balogun in that Rangers defence, especially in a Scottish football setting. I think he's been the absolute perfect signing for what they needed. The problem with Rangers at times in the last couple of seasons under Gerrard, especially if they were missing Barisic, once Barisic became Barisic, that they could sometimes have somebody on the left who wasn't necessarily that great, like Andy Halliday, or somebody who was right-footed and also not that great, like John Flanagan. And then you would have Nikola Katic to the left. And I don't have Katic on my list just because he's not played all season and because it was quite hard. I mean, if I was drawing up a true list, I probably would have put Katic in it somewhere. But again, the fact that he's, I don't think, played at all this season, I wasn't going to just kind of shove him in there with kind of more interesting players to talk about. But the reason that... So, yeah, and I think that Balogun kind of coming in, signing for Wigan, coming into that team and providing them with something they were missing on that side of the field. Because when you had Katic and you maybe didn't have Barisic at left-back, it just meant that opponents could just ignore that side of the pitch. Katic wasn't going to dribble out of defence and find or cut through them with a pass. And his passing is pretty suspect in general. And... It was a problem, and then they signed Balogun. Balogun could do that very well. He's somebody who's comfortable with the ball at his feet, comfortable taking out, plays with a lot of poise, gets Rangers set up to attack. I think defensively, he's not as good as this other player. And while he's a bit more of the full package, and I've kind of rewarded guys that are a bit more of the full package, I do think that, and I talked about this last time when I was talking about kind of fullbacks, guys who are just in the kind of perfect positions to succeed. And I think Balogun does have that. And the fact that the guy, Hollander, I should just say, I don't think the Rangers team suits him quite as much as it does Balogun, especially in a Scottish front. But he doesn't look any worse than him. And I think that must that should be rewarded.
Have you got Hollander on your list?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know why I was like being all secretive about him. Yeah, it was Hollander. I didn't think I had him on last year. I wasn't really impressed with him last year. I still think about his game, but I wonder what he would look like in a worse team. Like, I wonder what he looked like on Celtic this season. But he has been very good, and Rangers fans didn't really like him, so I should probably take their word for it.
Yeah, so I've got Balogun slightly higher.
So who's your number six?
My number six is Ryan Porteous.
Ah, even higher than me. You could have Sean coming after you now.
Yeah, the mistakes. So he's probably my Ash Taylor on this one. There's a few goals this season where he's not looked too clever at all. I've probably gone in here for potential, for seeing something, for a player that I kind of want to see and how he develops. I think I just really, really enjoy the way he approaches games. Yes, he has the dark art side, which I think is excellent in a centre-back. Aggression, combativeness. But I just really, really enjoy watching him pass the ball. When we did the interview on for the Patreon with him, I kind of talked about an NFL term, is packing, is very good.
Is what, sorry?
Packing. Is that, that's when he was... I thought that's when you you made a play and you missed loads of players. So if he passes it, he's taken out a lot of opposition players.
I've never heard packing before.
I'm sure. I'm just going to Google it just now. Packing NFL. Probably just made that up, I think. No idea where I got that from. Anyway. The point still stands. Porteous is very good at
passing. He threads
firmly and directly out of defence.
Are you saying he like threads the ball through an eye of a needle? Like take it out opponents with it? Or...
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, without being like, it doesn't have to be eye of the needle, but he does. He takes opponents out. He takes opponents out of the game with a lot of defenders. A lot of defenders will make the safe option pass into the defensive midfielder, passing sideways to either the fullback or their fellow centre back. He'll bypass them and go straight into the striker, but not with a long ball, with a really sharp ball on the ground. I think like Christian Deutsch, for example, or Kevin Nisbet dropping off have been good additions to Hibs for Porteous. I am concerned about his aerial success rate, but again, he's still young. It's like how many times you see it, defenders have to have mistakes, have to have aspects of game that they need to improve on. That's the case with Porteous, but I do think over the last few seasons, each season he's come back and looked a wee bit stronger, improved on certain attributes. Probably behind Doig will be the player that'll get Hibs a fair bit of money.
Certainly, yeah. I think of Nisbet as well.
Doig.
No, no, I mean like.
No, oh, yes.
Nisbet will probably get the money as well.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I had him a little bit further down, but nothing really much I can argue with there. My number five and the last non Old Firm player I've got on my list, but Jason Kerr, St Johnstone, number five, top five. I look at Jason Kerr and I think the things he could do as a defender, the all round kind of game that he's got. He is the closest thing in this league to Christopher Eyre Jr. In terms of his ability to move with the ball, to run forward, to become part of the attack, to help the attack, to help break down the opposition, to be that extra man coming forward that the opponents can't really game plan for, because you'd be stupid to game plan for the centre half doing a lot of damage. but he's excellent at that. He's also a very good defender in his own right. He has bounced back from, was it last season he had a poor campaign? Or was it the season before?
Yeah, I think it was.
He's bounced back in style. I think he's been excellent a lot of this season. He wins a lot of his individual battles. He's decent for winning the ball back in general. He doesn't get fouled. He doesn't give away many fouls, sorry, I should say. He's a very kind of calm head for somebody his age. And he's just got great potential. I could see why Johnson fans were a little bit miffed that he wasn't in the national team for the last one, especially when Declan Gallagher didn't even end up playing. He certainly had a much better season than Declan Gallagher. And considering that Declan Gallagher's only really had, two seasons playing at kind of a level that should attract interest from Scotland, then they could maybe feel hard done by if he's kind of, if Gallagher makes it to the Euros and Kerr doesn't, because he's certainly been much, much better this campaign. Only really thing that lets him down, I would say, is that he's still, and I think this is something that will come better with age, he's in terms of he runs with the ball an awful lot, but he can give it away at times. He's still yet to find when to pick and choose his moments, and he kind of as a result of that, and kind of as a result of being somebody who likes to get forward and play on the front foot so much, he can give away his passing as well. So he's responsible for giving the ball away a bit more than you'd want for a centre half. But then a lot of that is in the opposition third, so it's not like he's doing it a lot when he's like in a two man defence and put his team under immediate pressure. So it's not as much of a problem as that would be for centre halves and other teams. I just think he's been outstanding this campaign, and yeah, top five for me, ahead of a Rangers defender. How do you like them apples?
There's not a lot I can complain, but then, like I said, Jason Kerr is one of my favourite defenders in the league. I think he's got a great build, so athletic, and you can see that he's primed to go down south and do really well. I think he's set himself up to do really well down south, and no doubt at one point he's going to get a Scotland cap. But my number five is teammate Jamie McCart.
Don't have him at all. So yeah, really different on that one.
So with McCart, I just think he is just a incredibly underrated, under the radar defender who is consistent, solid enough. He's actually younger than Jason Kerr. And you look at what he brings to St Johnston, is that his passing is out of the three. So you've got Kerr, who is more of the up and down defender, drives out from the back, very athletic. Gordon is just your meat and potato stopper. And then McCart, I think, is your brains at the back in the back three. I think he reads the game very well. Don't think he'll... he's one of those players I think would do really well on the continent. And it's not just with his ability to pass out from the back. I think he's one of the best in the league in terms of passing at the final third as a defender. But just his ability to not get kind of dragged into physical battles, but also not to stand off. He just kind of just analyzes, take a step back, and then defend from there. He is solid in there. I think he's better than Kerr in there. I just think he's got really good attributes in a lot of areas you want from a defender. I think he's just so easy to watch with the ball and without the ball. With the ball, just his choice of passing, his ability with the ball in terms of passing, and then without it, the way he can cover space, the way he can intercept, the way he can win the ball back.
Start, I think I maybe should have put him on the back end of my three instead of one of Shaughnessy, Welsh, and Ash Taylor. Johnson fans go, the fuck? Of course Ash Taylor. I'm sticking up for my boy Ash. You can't waver this loyalty I have to this Greek god of a man. I don't have him, but we can maybe, if we could try and figure out a top 12 at the end of this that combines our list, then yeah, he could probably go in the back. I will happily for him to go in the back end of this.
You have to remember, this is... I mean, you've got Kerr. This is a back three who have had to put up with Xander Clarke behind them.
That's true.
Managed to drag the team into the top six and to a Betfred Cup win.
Yep, that's fair. I did Liam Gordon was on my long list as well because he's had a pretty good season. But
I think he has, compared to the other two, has his limitations.
Yeah.
Has more limitations.
So number four, probably the first of two controversial selections I'm going to make here. Number four, I've got Philippe Hallander, which means he's behind Christopher Julien, which is probably going to annoy any Rangers fans listening. Even some Celtics fans might be saying I'm not too sure about that, but there's something with Hallander I just don't quite see. I think he's a wee bit kind of plodding. There's not a lot of things that kind of stand out for me about him. He doesn't, one thing I'll say is he's very dependable. He very, very rarely makes any mistakes at all. Very solid positioning. Good anticipation. Does probably what you kind of want in a defender in a number of ways. His lack of pace, it concerns me a little at times. Don't think he's particularly great on the ball. And I do think that Julien just brings a kind of overall package. And again, you know, swap them round. You put Julien on a Rangers, do they get any worse? I don't think so. Do you put Hallander on a Celtic? Does he play as well? Definitely not. The Celtic get better or worse? I don't know. I think it's a close run thing between the two. I think maybe Julian's just kind of physical attributes, the fact that he's quicker off the ground, he's a bit more comfortable with the ball at his feet, he's a bit more bigger and a bit more dominant. I think all of those just had me with Julien ahead of him. But it's a close one. I'm not Hallander's biggest fan, but I'll have to tip my hat and say he's been very good this season. And like I say, he just doesn't make mistakes. And I've probably, as you've maybe judged the theme for this, I've maybe gone too high on players who do make mistakes in terms of defenders. Hallander doesn't. So maybe I should have had him number one. But he's just, there's no doubt that he's still a very good player. When I'm being harsh, I'm saying I'm not a big fan. Obviously, if Hart signed him, I'd be absolutely fucking delighted. And if he was playing for St Johnstone or Aberdeen, he'd look amazing as well. I'm kind of talking in terms of, you know, calibre of Rangers players. But I think I've said everything there is to say.
So I've got three Rangers players at my next four, and the first is Leon Balogun. Can I add much to what you said? No, not really. Is he just a good defender playing for the champions, the type of defender they needed, because they've obviously had Conor Gouldson, and like you alluded to, they've kind of, Gerrard does like to mix and match, and I think they finally got the right balance in terms of the squad depth at centre back. Leon Balogun has been crucial to that. He has been. I don't think he was never going to trouble the top three for me, just because I think he, more than my top three, has erratic moments. I think he had a game against Aberdeen early on in the season where he just didn't look too clever. But in general, I think he is quick enough, he is strong enough, decent, good in the air, and overall, I just think he has been a good signing by Gerrard to help Rangers get onto the next level. He's not been the most crucial signing, but the fact they've given him a new deal, haven't they? Signed a new deal. I think says a lot. Will he go down as one of Rangers? Well, in recent years, he'll go down as one of Rangers' best centre backs. But like going back to what the mid-90s, early noughties, he's not going to. He doesn't pull up trees. He does the job for Rangers and does the job that they've exactly what they needed from.
Right. So who was your number four? My number three was Julien. Who's your number three?
My number three is Christopher Ayer.
Oh no! I've got higher.
Don't tell me you've got number one.
I've got Christopher Ayer number one.
He's had a really poor season.
No,
by
he's not.
Standards.
He's not. He's been Celtic's, probably been Celtic's best player this season.
I
think what else? Turnbull, but actually maybe. Turnbull, yeah, I'm good. Second best player this season.
I think I was swithering between two and three. The reason he would have got two is because I really like him, and I think he is one of those players who has everything in him to be the absolute top, and go to the absolute top, sorry. But there's just, it's been this season, it's a hard one, Judge, because has he been impacted by the problems at Celtic, or has he been one of the problems, one of the many at Celtic? Just the lack of consistency, not getting up to the standards, the heights that I expect of him, that these attributes kind of insist that he should be. He's quick, he's strong, great in the air, great with the ball at his feet. Like, he's generally got everything. He should be the obvious person to be number one here. But I just think he, like many others at Parkhead, have just simply...
Well, you made a similar point about the St. John's guys. But remember the St. John's guys, at least of the three of them. Christopher Iyer, throughout this entire season, until recently when Welsh had been like kind of decent deputy to him, he's played with an absolute joker, some sort of joker alongside him, or Julian just coming back to fitness and then being injured again. And usually with a fullback to either side of him who's not been good enough. Especially like if you're talking like Jeremy Frimpong in terms of his defensive abilities. Then I often get played on the left of the four because of the left-sided centre-half. There's also the fact that the goalkeeper has been a disaster all season as well. And just the general kind of crapness around the club. And to deal with all that and still be their second best player over the season, I think shows the quality he has. I just think he's... If I was a club coming in to sign one centre-half of Scottish football, I would want Christopher Iyer.
Yes, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
So that's why he was number one for me. I wasn't just rating him on this season. If it was this season alone, he wouldn't be number one. But just for what I said there, I think just in terms of ability overall, I just think he's the best centre-half in the league. And he's also the one that's most fun to watch as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably move, more talking about him, I wouldn't have a number on just because how poor Celtic have been this season. And that's... You make good points about what's happened around them, but even still, there's been just simple defensive aspects where he's been found wanting, and I just find it difficult to put a Celtic centre back as number one in the list of top 12 Scottish Premiership centre backs this season. When
it's not this season though; it's right now.
Even right now.
Remember, we've got Christopher Julian on our list. He's not exactly going to be top 12 this season.
That's true.
Right. So that was... So, yeah, I said my number three. You said your number three was Iyer. My number two is Connor Goldson, who will be your number one.
Yeah, so I think to touch on Helen there, I think you've been very harsh on me. Yeah, I agree that he does look plodding. He's just a defender who's not very quick. He's quite slow in the turn. But people would be rolling their eyes because comparing him to kind of Hearts player.
Well, they're a better shout. I'd Halkett shout. So.
For me, there's kind of an Andy Webster feel about him. Is that he's a kind of stroller. He does make defending look really easy at times, and I do like that balance with him and Goldson. I think it's telling that he's putting some cracking performances on the European stage, because I mean he's a Swedish international. He's played in Serie A, so he has that has that experience. Whereas I think you're right. It's if Rangers weren't as good and had more pressure put on them in the Scottish Premiership, would they find the kind of rough and tumble a bit more difficult to deal with, perhaps? Because I mean, I think, am I right in saying that Dykes, before he went down to QPR, gave him a real going over?
Probably would have been last season.
Would have been last season. But yeah, it's this season, consistent, good. I think the Rangers fans have thought he was excellent. So he's not let them down. Good player.
Yes. So that's Hollander, you've said, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, so Connor Goldson, I mean, just like, Hollander's not made any mistakes this season, and Goldson's the same. barely makes any mistakes at all, like in terms of goals, but also in terms of like giving the ball away. Barely ever gives it away. Always, despite the fact he's the one usually in the defence who is kind of trusted to kind of start attacks more. He always seems to never seems to give it to opponents. Can actually move with the ball himself. Doesn't maybe do it as much as he could do, but is good at running with the ball. Is good in the air. Can pass well. Doesn't give away a lot of fouls. Gets fouled a lot himself. Pretty much just about anything you want, really.
There's two main reasons why I chose him as number one. Firstly, you talked about his passing. His long range passing is sublime at times, and I think that, again, that's massive for Rangers this season to open up teams to that kind of switch a player, drop the ball over fullbacks or midfielders to get teammates into space. I think it's absolutely massive, especially when for Rangers space is so important in the attacking kind of midfield and attacking thirds. He does that. He does it so well and consistently as well. Like I said, he doesn't, even with all that, he doesn't give the ball away all that often. Secondly, is I think he's probably one of the players who's benefiting most from a crowd not being in. I think he's come on without all that kind of distraction, and I think he's turned into basically Gerrard's voice on the pitch.
Yeah,
I think he is. Wouldn't go as far to say as like a second coach, but I think his communication is massive to keep them organised, to keep them switched on, and obviously Tavernier's captain, but at Rangers I think there's like kind of five captains there's a group of five of them. Goldson is one, and he out with the ball, kind of away from the actual football side of things, I think he's really important on the pitch.
Right, that's both our lists. Now let's come up with a top 12. I've managed to write one out, but there is one rock paper scissors we need to do. You're cheating a bit because you're in the dark, but see if we can do it. So this is for Ash Taylor or Andy Considine.
Okay.
Right, ready. Right, on three. One, two, three. Ah, no, you beat me again.
Yes. I had scissors to Craig Fowler's paper there.
So the top 12. Number 12, we've got Andy Considine. Number 11, since you said you had an initial layer, just decided to pick him. Joe Shaughnessy.
Yep.
Number 10. I've gone for Jamie McCart at 10, because he wasn't on my list, but he was on yours.
Okay.
John Guthrie at 9, Ryan Poitras at 8, Paul Hanlon at 7, Jason Kidd at 6. He's very high on mine, and he was about 10th, 11th on yours.
10th, right. Yep.
Liam Balogun at 5, Christopher Julian at 4, Philip Hollander at 3, Christopher Iyer at 2, and Conor Goldson at 1. Does that seem like enough kind of crossover and compromise there?
Yeah, I think so. With these lists, I always come out with it thinking, I think it's almost a good, it's go as far as saying it's cathartic, but like looking back on your list, it's talking it through, it would definitely be changing. Jason Kerr, for example, would be higher up than probably Guthrie and Hanlon.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should have had a car higher as well. Ah, oh, fuck it.
I won't be losing sleep over it until I get messages of abuse, and then I'll cry myself to sleep.
Yeah, well, St. Johnstone fans have got two messages, so two players mentioned, so they should be quiet.
Yeah.
And Aberdeen fans hate their team right now, so they won't be bored either. Right, thank you very much, Joe, and thank you to everybody for listening. Be sure to join us again when Monday show rolls around, and of course, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/terracepodcast, where, well, it's just there for either $2 a month or $5 a month. There's hours of content to fill the holes that are left by us when we're not doing main shows. So be sure to subscribe. Joe, say goodbye.
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 Social Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.